Global Community proudly presents the JDE Connection, a Quest On Air podcast production.
This podcast explores and showcases how JDE customers are harnessing specific functionality and capabilities to drive business success.
Hello, JDE Connection listeners. Welcome back. This is Chandra Wabshal, one of your podcast hosts, and I'm a senior business analyst at Brightview Landscapes. With me this week and every week is my friend and podcast partner, Paul Hout Cooper, Vice President of JD Edwards Product Development at Oracle. Today, Paul and I thought we would go over some of the highlights from Blueprint 4D and share some of what we learned.
Yeah, it was a pretty intense week. These conferences usually are, but it was long. But the energy and excitement from, you know, everybody, the customers, the partners, everybody that you interact with throughout the week, the level of engagement was just ridiculous. I had so many good customer meetings. I know I've got the feedback from my team as well that they had a lot of positive interactions with customers, positive interactions with partners, great attendance at all the sessions. But it was a unique week. I can't say that I always rehearse a keynote while running, like I did this time around. But hey, you know, you got to use whatever time you have to get prepared, I suppose. But as always, it was fun to connect with friends from all over the globe, really, as people came from New Zealand and Australia and Europe and many, many other places from around the States to converge on Blueprint and come see what we had to show.
That's awesome. I love that you were able to rehearse a keynote talk track on a run. That's pretty cool, you know? Yeah. Like you said, got to optimize that time. Uh-huh. Sometimes that's the only free time you might have.
Yeah, when you get stumped at the coffee shop and you need a break and a change of pace, you know, sometimes that's what you got to do. But this year, I guess one of the things as I look back at past blueprints, I don't know how you felt, Chandra, but the energy was there. The excitement was definitely there. I mean, once again, with the way things are these days, I don't think you could go 5 minutes without somebody saying the word AI, ML, or somebody mentioned some sort of large language model, RAG, you know, all these terms. But this year for me was very different, particularly rewarding and different because of our podcast duties.
Agreed. It was different, but yes, very rewarding. I would agree. It provided a different spin on things this year.
Yeah, like we needed more to necessarily do in a week.
I thought my schedule looked kind of boring last year, so I figured let's throw in a podcast and some duties along with it. Why not? Let's roll.
Why not? Yeah, we'll just jump on a customer panel here or there. All of a sudden, you know, I haven't been back to the show floor, the exhibit hall floor and doing booth duty for a while. So it was kind of fun to be able to do that again.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of what we learned, I learned that we can do a live podcast recording. Yay. I mean, live in person, in front of people, even.
In person, in front. Isn't that what live means?
Well, that assumes you have people come attend said session.
No, that's true. We did have great attendance. You know, I don't know. There was probably 40 plus people in that session. So thank you to everybody that did come out and support us. We're new to this whole thing, and it was really cool to have so many people show up. And then the participation. I don't know what you thought, Chatter, but having so many people come up and actually share some of their tips, some of their tricks was really, really cool.
Oh, absolutely. I love hearing from other people in the community on how they use resources, which was our topic. So for me, having other people provide insight and share some tidbits that I didn't know about, I think that was great.
Absolutely. It was very cool to see so many people just willing to share little tips that they, you know, what are the resources they find most useful, most valuable? And the approach of using practical use cases, so to speak, like, you know, what's the problem we're trying to solve? It was kind of neat to have people come up and take that same approach in what they were describing. They would tell you exactly what they were using and why they were using it, what it was really useful for. So hopefully everybody found that to be beneficial.
I'm sure they did. We also found out there were quite a few people that didn't know about the JDE connection. So I thought Blueprint 40 was a great way to get the word out.
I was a little surprised. You know, I guess we're kind of off in our own little world doing this podcast thing. And, you know, we're doing this as often as we're doing it, you know, nights and weekends and whatnot. And the people that we talk to all the time know about it, right? So it was kind of interesting to go into that environment and actually see blank stares when you say, hey, have you heard about the JDE connection? They go, hey, what's that? So,
yeah. And you figure, you know, in addition to what we're doing, we're also promoting it on LinkedIn, and Quest is promoting it, and our vendors are promoting it, even some of our other customers. So it was interesting to me to see that we're still missing a market. So we need to figure out what we need to do to continue to get the word out to those that weren't there.
Yep, for sure.
On the other side, we found out we are indeed adding value. We had several individuals stop by our booth to thank us for doing episodes like Lingo Bingo. We had one individual who purposely said that they had heard a term, didn't know what it was or what it meant, and we happened to cover it, so they got their question answered. And then others just thanked us for doing this podcast and providing a new medium for learning and staying connected and for the energy that we're pumping back into the ecosystem.
Yeah, I mean, we obviously love and appreciate that positive reinforcement from everybody. It always feels good to find out that you are making a difference. Then again, we also found out that nobody actually got bingo. So when we did do a survey in our...
I was kind of disappointed.
Yeah, I was like, really? Apparently, we've got more lingo to cover because nobody's managed to get bingo yet. But we do want to thank everybody for coming out and supporting us. And then, you know, I thought it was interesting as we got positioned outside the exhibit hall and started interacting with folks, kind of the list of topics just kept building, so to speak, as people would come by and share some of the things they'd like us to cover. Some even volunteered to come on the pod, so our list of interview candidates can continue to grow. I don't know how many times I got asked, is it okay for a customer to come on the pod? Is it okay for somebody to come on the pod and talk about XYZ? And it's like, of course it is. You know where to reach us. You know how to get a hold of us. If you have something to share, by all means, you know, come along. So there's quite a few more interview candidates that we have on the list now. And so I'm looking forward to the next few months kind of cycling through all those folks.
Few months. I feel like we have topics that'll get us to the time that we both retire.
Retirement, a foreign concept for some of us. Anyway, maybe one of the other things we learned, because we were outside the exhibit hall and the idea, the concept was great, right? We get outside where it's maybe a little bit quieter and, you know, we might be able to do some interviewing. So we've got our mics and we've got our Zoom and we're ready to connect with people and maybe do some interviews. But the reality is even in that environment, people are coming by so fast and so furious, and there's one conversation after the other. It just wasn't really conducive to us doing interviews. I know we had hoped to like capture some other live content that we could mix up into a nice, you know, to another episode for everybody's benefit. But the reality was, you know, people wanted to understand who we were, what we were doing. They wanted to talk about specific topics we had covered, volunteer other ones. But I found myself one person after another person after another person, you know, we couldn't necessarily drag the mics out from behind the booth to go track people down. And it just didn't work very well.
Yeah. Even though the booth was so cute. I loved it. Quest did such a great job with that. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Maybe for us, you know, in the future, if we located that booth inside the exhibitor hall, we'd have a better chance of recording some interviews, or if we offered times where people could actually schedule them and be present, maybe that would be helpful for us. If we're on the exhibitor hall, there's a lot of excitement. There's people, yeah, people are still going to stop by to find out who we are, what we are, but we could be right there, ready to go with the microphones, be less afraid to kind of be in people's faces. And obviously it was our first time, so we're learning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And to your point about getting the word out, I mean, that's what I felt like we were doing. Was so much of our interactions was were around introducing people to the podcast, what our goal, what our mission was, who we were, and the topics that we hope to cover. And so, again, I think mission accomplished, right? We may not have gotten an interview out of it, but again, the interaction was hot and heavy, you know, fast and furious, whatever. It was great.
Agreed. I think we definitely accomplished our mission. So, mm-hmm. Or one of our missions.
All right. So maybe switching gears, what else to, you know, let's maybe get to some of the messaging or some of the product updates, or what do you want to start off with first as far as what you learned last week?
Well, let's start with some of the messaging, I think. Specifically, you know, I attended the Executive Forum Q&A and the J.D. Edwards Executive Ask Me Anything sessions, and I was honestly surprised by the number of customers that are struggling to combat the fear and uncertainty around J.D. Edwards being dead. It was a bit of a shock to me, given that Oracle continues to provide enhancements. They're sharing roadmaps into the future, which to me reflects ongoing investment. And to top it all off, the Premier Support announcement clearly states access to product updates and enhancements, as well as technical assistance and support resources to help you maintain your on-premises Oracle applications.
I can't argue with you on that. It does say exactly those words. Thank you. And it does, you know, it seems like this FUD that's out there in the marketplace is never ending, but sometimes it ebbs and flows as far as its intensity is concerned. A lot of it really stems from sales teams, different sales teams having different incentives and therefore maybe competing priorities. And we do our best to try to educate throughout our internal ecosystem within Oracle about, you know, what is J.D. Edwards? What are we doing with J.D. Edwards? What are some of the strengths? What are some of the weaknesses? You know, we try to work across, I'd say, you know, we're cross functions within Oracle, but, you know, we can't control everybody and we can't control, you know, what everybody says. I would say if you're on the, you know, as you know, customers, and we talked to several that week, that, you know, when you receive these phone calls, or if you're on the other side of that discussion and you're talking to your SaaS sales rep, or you're talking to your AHU sales rep, or your tech sales rep from OCI, just keep them in their lane, so to speak. You know, talk to them about what they actually know, right? Don't let them try to tell you, you know, for instance, don't let the SaaS rep try to tell you about J.D. Edwards. Just talk to the SaaS rep about cloud ERP or whatever it is. Talk to OCI about OCI. And if you've got questions about J.D. Edwards, well, then talk to your Applications Unlimited sales representative about J.D. Edwards or EBS or PeopleSoft, whatever product, you know, you're interested in. But, you know, again, you know, since we're learning and we're always trying to take this feedback, the fact that there was so much FUD out there and that you were surprised by that, we were also pretty surprised. So a big takeaway for the JDE leadership team was the need to probably provide some better guidance for just how best to work with Oracle, given the competing dynamics that we have. Not to belabor this point, but it's not just Oracle sales teams, but our competitors as well that, you know, help to spread this FUD. We do have competitors out there that for their own products, their own on-prem products have, you know, are effectively forcing their customer base to move to their cloud products, and they've provided an end date. And you talked about, you know, the Premier Support Policy in 2035. And, you know, these competitors like to kind of point to that 2035 date the same way they point to their own end date and put it in the same category. But it's really not fair. I mean, 2035 for us is not an end date, never has been an end date. It's not fair to try to put it through that lens. We're not trying to force any of our customers off of the on-premises products. We're trying to let our customers decide for themselves how and when to adopt cloud and, you know, based on what makes sense for their business. So when you look at our 2035 announcement, all it does is serve as basically an assurance policy that JDE is not going anywhere. You know, EBS, PeopleSoft, you know, whatever product you're running. You know, we're not going anywhere, and we'll be there to support you on your journey and serve as a trusted advisor, if you will, with your strategic planning. So it's just not fair to look at it. You're comparing apples to oranges when you're looking at one of our competitors with an end date forcing you to move versus what Oracle's position on this is.
And I was glad to be in both of those discussions and hear you and the rest of the team express that. And I think that's awesome. And I'm glad that we're highlighting it here too, for those that maybe didn't get to attend and can get that same message so that they're hearing, we're consistently saying, hey, like you said, if you're hearing from your SaaS or your OCI or your AU, talk about what's in their lane. Mm-hmm. Steer that conversation the right way. And then competition, who needs them?
Right.
But for those that are not familiar with FUD, maybe we should define that for people. Fear, uncertainty, and doubt.
Is that another?
May not have heard that. It's another TLA.
Yeah. We got to put it in our JDE lingo bingo. It's not really JDE specific, but we do reference it quite often. That's for, you know, I think the other influencing factor there for those that do come to the conference when they interact with the team. I mean, they've got to see the energy, the excitement, and that tends to kind of influence your perception of the product. If the people that are building the product, maintaining the product, innovating off the product are that excited, and that includes the ecosystem. When you talk to other customers that are using our digital platform for automation purposes, when you listen to all the stories of digital transformation and what they're accomplishing, you know, with the digital platform, and then even our other business partners and the innovation that they're bringing to market. I mean, there is so much energy and so much happening in this space that as soon as you really step on that floor, you realize that fear, uncertainty, and doubt it's not accurate. It doesn't represent the future of this product or the culture that JD Edwards has. So, you know, I strongly encourage anybody out there that doesn't come to Blueprint, maybe you'll have the opportunity to come to InFocus and check us out there. But I think once you see us all in action and see what it's all about, you'll realize that when somebody says that JD Edwards is dead, that's far from true.
Well, yeah. Or they could also do the virtual replay from Quest. You know, that would be a really great way as well to listen to some of those sessions, you know, that they weren't there for. You know, go ahead and get the virtual event pass and listen to the recorded sessions. I believe all of which were recorded.
Mm-hmm. I believe so too. So. Yeah. Well, you know, the other thing that I got hit up multiple times on throughout the week was about potential improvements to the design tools. So, you know, some folks have seen that we haven't probably touched our form design aid or report design aid tools for a while. And others, of course, are realizing the benefits of the user-defined objects framework that we have, where they kind of provide immediate gratification, if you will, right? You can make a change.
Yep.
You can promote it, and it's immediately available in production. So I was getting hit up, when are you going to make an investment in FDA, RDA? When are you going to uplift that stuff? When are you going to make changes? And, you know, right now we're going to remain focused on adding more and more capabilities on the glass. So, you know, our way of getting you immediate gratification is going to be to expand those capabilities on the glass, not necessarily invest directly in FDA and RDA, because we really want to wean you off FDA and RDA and the need to make customizations or custom reports or whatnot. So, you know, that'll be the focus. But it was very interesting to receive that feedback, that people are genuinely interested in us, you know, revamping those tools.
I would agree. They are a little bit stuffy, out of date, feels a little bit old. So I think having that desire for that is very much, you've done so much to uplift other areas. It absolutely makes sense to have some cool things in that neck of the woods. And one of the cool things I learned about was with release 24. I don't necessarily need package builds to promote certain objects anymore into production. That enables me to respond more quickly to the business when I need to maybe change an application. I can be a little bit quicker. I can be more nimble.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the questions I think that came up in the executive asked me anything towards the end of the week was, you allow UDOs to, those UDO changes to be immediately available, you know, what about FDA? What about RDA? And unfortunately, I myself was remiss in not mentioning this enhancement that you just brought up, Chandra, that, you know, we've got Promote to Package came out with release 24, and it does allow you to take, you know, changes to applications, reports, versions, business views, I think even processing options and data structures, which makes me a little nervous, but also media objects, and actually promote them directly to the active package that's in production. So you can get that sense of immediate gratification and see your changes right away without having to go through that full package build that we traditionally have had to rely on.
I am excited about that. Trust me, I went back right away to my management. I'm like, oh my gosh, this will be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, cutting down turnaround time, right? I mean, it's your time to value. And depending on what it is that you're battling, I mean, the sooner you can get that in, the better, right? Of course, you're not going to do this without testing. You're not going to do this without, you know, validating things and making sure you get your ducks in a row. But the reality is being able to promote without package build saves time, saves energy.
Obviously, I'll still have to follow my change control process and ITC GCs on that. But for the most part, I'm excited about this. This I think could be really helpful.
Were there other highlights for the week or other product highlights for the week you want to call out?
Yeah, absolutely. The roadmap session highlighted Haiyan Wang's enhancement for Cafe One attachments, including a great photo from your podcast being displayed as the example. I bet you were so fired up about that.
Yeah, this is maybe where you're supposed to preview your slide deck before you get up on stage. Just saying. John and I had a conversation about what that slide was going to look like, and apparently I lost, or my words were not heeded. So yes, it's always nice to turn around on stage and see a close-up of your face. But if that's what people remember and they connect that with this enhancement and they're excited about the enhancement, I guess it's the price I got to pay.
Surprise!
Fun times. So.
Yeah. There was definitely a lot of curiosity about AI. I mean, I know there were a lot of sessions that were included that contained AI or conversations about AI.
Yep.
I know a lot of customers are interested, at least that's what it seemed, in some of the conversations I had, but they weren't quite there yet. They weren't quite ready to commit to AI and start working with it, but they're curious and really wanted to learn more about it.
Oh yeah. I mean, I thought it was interesting because for a long time now, we've been on the, I'd say the orchestrator, sorry, as I have a hard time saying orchestrator today. You know, orchestrator bandwagon, and we'll remain on that, right? It's a centerpiece for our, you know, our investment and our product into the future. But we saw so many sessions growing and growing and growing over the years. And, you know, this year we actually saw almost a downtick in the number of orchestrator sessions. And those were being replaced by AI sessions, right? Many of which are being enabled by orchestrator. But be that as it may, I think you're going to see this trend probably continue. And, you know, to your point, I mean, people are very curious. They're excited about this, but they're unsure, right? They're going to like dip their toe and, you know, they're not going to necessarily jump, you know, head first in, but you know, there's a ton of hype. It really is exciting. I mean, the rate of change right now, the rate of innovation is through the roof. It's really hard to keep up with, even with stuff that we just saw that came out like a week ago that you're trying to catch up with and trying to figure out, well, how it's going to make a difference in your day-to-day life. But I think the key for us, and this is what I talk to the team about regularly, and that is transforming those complex concepts into practical use cases that solve real-world problems. It all sounds good. It all looks really cool. And we can do a bunch of the art of the possibles and mock some stuff up to try to generate excitement and also to try to generate ideas. But at the end of the day, this stuff has to translate into real contextual solutions. people have to be able to see problems being solved directly by these new innovations. And so it'll be that ability to take something that's maybe a little bit abstract, maybe a little bit difficult to understand, but use it in a way that everybody gets it and can then start to connect the dots where this stuff can add value. And that's going to be the real key going forward.
Agreed. I think it's very key. And you talk about change. One of the tracks I know that was interesting to me was all the sessions that were available for business analysis or business analysts, however you might want to refer to it. And I sat in one of the sessions talking about how the world of business analysis has evolved, and now how we need to be really on the ball to handle change. We need to be nimble and maybe less, I would say, project-based, where the PMI method can kind of be pushed aside a little. I mean, there's still certain aspects of it that are important, but, you know, those successful organizations and the successful business analysts are going to be ones that are really nimble. You need to be able to understand and analyze your business issues on a continuous cycle. It's not a project where it's a start and an end. Think of it more of a circle where it's continuous. Okay. You know, you're right. Just continuing to evolve. So I really enjoyed that session. It really was enlightening to me. And really that we're that catalyst between the strategy and the organizational change. We're that, again, that glue that's going to, you know, bring everybody together. I really enjoyed that. I'm hoping that we'll have some more sessions and tracks like that for business analysts, because I do see that role becoming even more important as the amount of change becomes more rapid.
Yes. So a couple of things that you said there. You said we are the catalyst, and I just want to reiterate, you know, when you say we, you mean BAs are the catalyst between strategy and organizational change. And then you mentioned PMI. So again, another three-letter acronym. So for those out there that don't know it, what is PMI?
The Project Management Institute.
Okay.
Thank you for calling me out on that.
No worries. Make sure we cover everything, right?
Absolutely. So. We were fortunate enough to meet someone from the International Institute of Business Analysis. She also has a podcast, Susan Morris, her name, and we were able to connect outside our booth, but I'm hoping that we might have an opportunity to connect with them maybe on a future episode.
Mm, yes. Yeah, that was a great conversation. It was so neat for her to stop by and her talking about her podcast and what it covers and what her experience has been. Obviously great for us to be able to relate. And then Delvin, you know, us sharing some stories, I guess. So Delvin's been in the J.D. Edwards community since, a long time back. So there was some stories from 24 plus years ago, 25 plus years ago that we were able to actually share that I won't repeat on our pod today. But it was fun to walk down memory lane and you know, connect like that. So.
Yeah, as an outsider, listening to the two of you share those stories was fun. I obviously have not worked at J.D. Edwards, and so some of the people you referred to, you know, I might have heard a few names before, some of the other ones I didn't. So, but it was fun to see you two connect on that and share those laughs. It was
fun. Yeah. You know, before we go into, you know, maybe our Midwesternism of the day, because, of course, we have to end each episode with a Midwesternism. Maybe we wrap the blueprint discussion. I think it was incredibly rewarding. It was an intense week. There was a lot of cool ideas being floated around, and it was funny. I couldn't walk down the hall without, you know, getting caught up in a conversation. I apologize to everybody that I was late for, because I don't think I made it a single session or a single customer meeting on time as a result.
Hopefully they'll forgive you for that. I would agree. In fact, it was an intense week. It was very busy. And I know I came back and it was nice to not talk to anybody for just a little while. I was like, oh, I don't have many meetings on Monday. Thank goodness.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. I remember getting hit up late in the week for a customer meeting. And they were like, well, we can do it next week. And my response was, no, no, we can't. We're gonna get it in this week, because next week, no offense, I don't want to talk to anybody. I'm just, it'll be a time to decompress. And, you know, again, we come back and we got to collect all the ideas. We got to collect all the feedback. And to be fair, not all the feedback we received was 100% positive. We've got plenty of areas to work on, plenty of things to improve upon. And that goes for product, that goes for our interaction with SIGs, that goes for roadmap, that goes for the event itself and our participation and some of the things that, you know, how we coordinated some things, how we timed some things. So we take that all back and, you know, we try to figure out how we're gonna do it better next time and all that. So again, there's a postmortem or retrospective, if you will, to try to figure out how we do this better next time. But it's fun to come on here and talk to you, Chandra, about some of the things that we learned and some of our major takeaways and be able to reiterate that for folks and kind of give them a taste for, hey, if you weren't able to make it, this is the type of stuff that you're going to learn. This is the type of stuff that you're going to see if you come to these conferences.
Absolutely. And maybe they should think about In Focus in October. I'll just put that shameless plug out there.
Shameless plug. Yes. Well,
October 1st through the 3rd in Denver.
Another lesson learned, right? Or not necessarily lesson learned, but I think people are learning that Blueprint 4D, it's a little bit more of a strategic conference, and it's intended for more of the decision makers and talking about thought leadership and decision making. Whereas within Focus, it's more, let's get underneath the hood. It's more of your how-to. So with Blueprint, you've got the what and the why. And the strategy within Focus, you're going to have more the how to and, you know, more low level detail. And, you know, of course, it happens in Denver. So Denver is where the home of JD Edwards. So, you know, you get a larger participation from the product team. So it's a great opportunity for BAs, CNCs, programmers, functional consultants, you name it, you know, those folks that have their hands on JD Edwards on a daily basis, and those that may be enhancing and improving and innovating off of JD Edwards. It's a great opportunity to interact with the engineering team and the product management team.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to attending myself, and obviously looking forward to attending Blueprint next year, back in Vegas.
Back in Vegas, yes. Oh boy.
Well, with that, let's turn it over to our Midwesternism of the day.
Okay.
Since it's spring in most parts of the U.S. anyhow, you might be seeing lots of ducks or geese out. Maybe even some of them have their little ones running around. They're so cute. They're so fuzzy. Although those mom and dad geese, not a fan of. They're hissy and they get to be a little bit protective. I get it. But yeah, I don't like being chased by them. Not my thing. No. And they don't seem to want to get out of my way on a run. So
no,
whatever.
No, no, they take over a sidewalk for sure.
Yeah. But it always reminds me of the game Duck, Duck, Gray Duck.
So you wrote this one down and I read it like three times and I'm like, well, duck, duck, what? I'm sorry. I mean, I know I'm from Wisconsin. Maybe I'm supposed to know this one, or maybe this one is a Minnesotaism versus a Midwesternism. I don't know, but I did not play Duck, Duck, Gray Duck. I played Duck, Duck, Goose like maybe almost every other person.
Okay, okay. Yeah, this one shows my Minnesota roots for sure. I only played Duck, Duck, Gray Duck. I actually didn't know Duck, Duck, Goose was a thing until I got to college and I met friends from out of state. And I learned that really Minnesota's about the only state that calls it that. And there really isn't a known reason, at least that I'm aware of. I know there's some speculation that goes back to that there were two versions of it in Sweden. One was, you know, when you translated the Swedish versions, one translated to Duck, Duck, Gray Duck, and the other one translated to Duck, Duck, Goose. And then it was the Swedes that settled in Minnesota were the ones that were the Duck, Duck, Gray Duck, and they brought that with them. Whether or not that's true, no idea, because that's just one of those childhood games, if you will, that comes down through word of mouth, through, you know, from your parents, from your grandparents, from other kids.
Yeah, you would have never known that you were wrong your entire life. I mean, it's just the way it is.
Thanks, Paul. Appreciate that. I'm not wrong. I'm just different.
Okay. Whatever floats your boat. That's awesome. All right. With that, we want to thank everybody for tuning in to this episode of the JDE Connection.
Until next time, let's keep learning, sharing, and most importantly, laughing together.
Toodles.
See ya.
Thank you for tuning in for today's episode of the JDE Connection, a Quest On Air podcast production. Show notes and links can be found at questoraclecommunity.org/JDE Connection.
To learn more about what's happening in the Quest JD Edwards community, visit our website at questoraclecommunity.org/JD Edwards.